Testament reading is to be found on page 56 of the Church Bible. It is taken from Exodus chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Then Moses answered, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand. So that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." He put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back into your cloak." So he put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his body. If they will not believe you or heed the first sign, they may believe the second sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or heed you, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." But he said, "O my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "What of your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently, and even now he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as a mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform the signs." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
The gospel is taken from St. Luke chapter 2, which will be found on page 60 in your pew Bibles.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit resting on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword shall pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Carmel, of the tribe Asher, and she was a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Then, as a widow, to the age of 84, she never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At the moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about this child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the end of the lesson.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As Hazel said, my name is Holly, and I am one of the Trinity Ordinands. And I'm aware most of you probably don't know who I am, but it's really lovely to be with you this morning. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. And as we explore it together this morning, would you open our hearts and our minds to hear from you. Amen. So this morning we are continuing in our series looking at the book of Exodus. Last week we got to the point in Moses' story where he had a life-changing encounter with God at the burning bush. Moses has been called by God to go to Egypt, confront Pharaoh, and free God's people, the Israelites. Towards the end of chapter 3, we saw Moses question if he is really qualified for this mission. But God promises that he will be with Moses and will equip him for the task. Our passage today continues this conversation between God and Moses, where we will see how God equips his chosen messenger. So although our passage does not explicitly tell us how Moses was actually feeling, I think it would be fair to say that Moses was pretty reluctant to accept the call that God had for him. And as I have completed my own reflection on this passage, I've been left convinced that Moses' reluctance stems from fear. And we see this reflected in our passage today through the three protests that Moses makes against his calling from God. This morning, I want us to explore how God responds to Moses' fearful protests through equipping his messenger for the tasks ahead with signs and promises. We find Moses' first protest in chapter 4, verse 1, which you can find on page 56 of the Church Bibles if you'd like to follow along. And Moses says, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say the Lord did not appear to you." The "they" in this verse is referring to the Israelite leaders that Moses must first go to before he confronts Pharaoh. If we glance back at chapter 3, verse 18, we see that God has in fact already promised that these leaders will listen to Moses. And yet Moses is still fearful and doubts whether the Israelites will believe that God has appeared to him. But God does not dismiss Moses' concern. Instead, he responds by equipping Moses with three signs. God equips Moses with these signs in order to convince the Israelite leaders to believe what he's saying. But in light of what we heard last Sunday about Moses not really knowing who Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, was until this point, I wonder if these signs were also there to convince Moses too. The first sign that God equips Moses with is the staff turning into a snake. And at the time, snakes were a symbol of wisdom or Egyptian royal authority. And so Moses grabbing the snake's tail as it turns back into a staff symbolizes the spiritual and political authority that God will enforce on Moses, on Egypt, through Moses. But in this sign, we also see an example of God using the ordinary to do the extraordinary. While this is still, of course, an incredible act of God, it's significant that God chooses to use what is already in Moses' hand, a tool from Moses' day-to-day job as a shepherd to reveal his power and authority. And I wonder if this is an encouragement for some of us here today, a reminder that God can use the everyday, seemingly ordinary things in our life for his purposes. The second sign that God gives Moses in verse 6 of the skin disease being revealed and then healed is said to symbolize God's authority over disease and sickness. And this is perhaps also a prophetic sign of how God will take the unclean nation of Israel and make it clean. So just in case these two powerful signs are not convincing enough for the Israelite leaders, God equips Moses with a third sign that involves the transformation of water from the Nile into blood. While the first two signs have already been performed by Moses, this sign must be accepted by faith. God has equipped his messenger with signs to reveal his power and presence, and to demonstrate to the Israelite leaders that Moses is the one that he has chosen to lead this rescue mission. But despite these amazing and miraculous signs, Moses still hesitates. In verse 10, we hear Moses' second protest. "Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." I can't help but feel that this actually sounds quite eloquent for someone who is claiming not to be. But yet again, God is patient with Moses. God equips Moses with the promise that he will be with his mouth, and he will equip Moses with the right words to say when the time comes. But Moses is still reluctant. So much so that in verse 13, he puts his foot down in his third protest and says, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." And it's at this point that God becomes angry. Not because Moses is fearful or because he questions God, but because he's not being obedient and he's refusing to trust God. We're not told how God's anger manifested, but we are told that God responds to Moses by equipping him with the promise of the help of Aaron, who will help him speak to the Israelites and to Pharaoh. But God makes it very clear. Moses has not escaped responsibility. It is still Moses who is God's chosen messenger. Aaron is merely the mouthpiece. God does not remove the source of Moses' fear, but he equips him to overcome it in order to fulfill the calling that God has for him. So I wonder if you can relate to Moses at all in this passage. Have you ever found yourself in a situation that feels like it is just too big for you to handle? Where you have felt like you are not experienced enough, not skilled enough, not strong enough, or not brave enough? Is there something in your life that makes you want to cry out, "Lord, please send someone else. I can't do it. I don't want to go. I'm not the right person for the job. Please find someone better." And yet the truth is, as we see with Moses and throughout the Bible, in the imperfect people God chooses to use in order to fulfill his purposes, he rarely seems to call the one who seems like the most obvious one for the job. But he always equips those he calls. Where God calls us, he equips us. As I'm sure most of us know, this does not mean that things will be easy. As we look further ahead in the story, the journey of Moses and the Israelites is certainly not a straightforward one. Moses' protests are very real for him, and his fears and doubts are more than understandable. But each of Moses' fears and doubts provide an opportunity for God to reveal himself and to show that his presence and his power is enough. Moses might not think that he is qualified for the task, but God is not after Moses' intelligence or his abilities. It's not the power of Moses that will free the Israelites. And as we've seen in our passage, the way that God chooses to equip Moses is not with signs that will show how good Moses is, but instead demonstrate God's power and authority. What God really requires from Moses is obedience. God will equip him with the words and the strength for the tasks ahead. And that is what God wants from us too. Our obedience to his call on our lives. To surrender ourselves to his will above our own. To remember that God is with us, allowing him to equip us and help us, especially in those moments when we feel weak and inadequate. Because it's in our weakness that God's power is made perfect. God's promise to be with Moses is fulfilled in us today. And not only because God is with us, but he is in us and we are in Christ. And because of Jesus and his obedience, even to the point of death on the cross for our sakes, we are equipped today by his Holy Spirit. So, I invite you to consider, what is it that you need God to equip you with today? Perhaps it is peace, strength, wisdom, encouragement, the right words to say in a difficult situation. Maybe it is the help of another person like Aaron was for Moses. Or maybe you need the courage to be that help to someone else. Moses was God's chosen messenger. And despite Moses' fears, God equipped him. Like Moses, God has tasks for each of us. And when God calls us to do something, he is faithful to see us through it, despite our feelings. And although he might not give us signs quite like a staff turning into a snake, where God calls us, he does equip us by his Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are always with us. Please, would you make us more aware of your presence with us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in today. Thank you that where you call us, you equip us. Holy Spirit, please equip us for the tasks that you have for us. Help us to be obedient to your call on our lives. Amen.